This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There are many things in this world that can be combustible. Combustible. Things that you, if you were to mix them together, you'd have yourself quite an explosion. You'd have yourself quite an event. I remember when as a kid I'd fool around with vinegar and baking soda. That creates quite an event. There is the science of atomic reaction, unstable elements. That can create an event. But is there anything more combustible? Is there anything more potentially life-threatening than the mixture of alcohol and karaoke? I have an example of that. He doesn't know I have it. He knows now because he's holding his head. He's holding his groin. He's grabbing his ass. He wants to throw up. He's our engineer, Craig Taylor. And last night, out of Dimples in Burbank, he had himself a taste, maybe two, and got up and sang karaoke. He sang Welcome to the Jungle. Let's listen, shall we? Let's listen to the combustible, potentially life-threatening. Let's listen to, well, they could have dropped this on Hiroshima and killed everybody, and there wouldn't have been the radioactivity. Well, maybe there would have been, but anyway. You can hear the crowd, all of them fueled by Long Island iced tea.
Wait a minute.
I got to hear that. Was that somebody?
Here's my attempt here.
Oh, my God!
My attempt. By the way, there were only four people in the bar at the time he did this. Well, there you go. That's karaoke. That's Craig. I won't play the whole thing, man. I know you don't want me to, and I don't really want to hear it. Not that you got a bad voice. You got a pretty good voice. But how'd I get it? It's because you went out with a bunch of people from the station here, and they all have tape machines. And can't you get it at the karaoke place to give it to you? They give you a copy of it. Mike's got it on tape. We had somebody burn it off, and then...
But you won't get there for free.
But you won't get there for free. And they burned it off, and then we sat in the office and heard things like...
Serpentine!
That. Listening to you there at the karaoke bar last night, man, as you crooned the evening away, as you sang to the young ladies, things like... You know. It's an amazing, amazing moment, man, when you stepped in front of that microphone, and the guy said, okay, who else wants to try it? And you got up and went...
Live like an animal!
So that's karaoke. Karaoke, is that going to go away anytime soon? Just knock on my door when it does, okay? Mild-mannered Craig Taylor, and listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we call muscular dystrophy.
What a what?
So, karaoke is a great thing. First karaoke bar I ever went into was in Seattle, and it was in what they call the International District in Seattle, because that's... You know how we call it Chinatown in L.A.? They call it Chinatown in New York or whatever. They call it Calle Ocho in Miami, wherever the so-called ethnic area is. It's International District in Seattle. And I was up there in, I guess it was, yeah, it was 1990. And I went into this joint, man. These people are singing. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. And they're up singing, and it was kind of cool because some dude was singing Sinatra songs and... Well, this isn't bad. Gives people get their rocks off. What do you do during the instrumentals, Craig? Did you stand there and just like do that whole, you know, that Angus Young thing with the hair? You know, oh, you were. Craig was sitting down at this point. Excuse me, he was laying down at this point. But the goofiest part of this whole thing was it started in Japan, didn't it? And it started with Japanese businessmen who wanted to unwind and relax by going into a bar, and rather than hearing another singer, they would sing themselves. And they wouldn't just sing Japanese popular songs. They'd sing things like the green, green grass of home. They'd sit up and sing, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again. You know, whatever. Girl from Ipanema. Ta and ta, young and low. You know, I don't know how it sounded. It probably was.
Sneeze!
There. Sneeze? I want you to sneeze! You didn't know that line was in Welcome to the Jungle. I want you to get on your knees and sneeze! Horse with no name. In other words, these were guys who were coming off the day shift at Nissan, coming off the shift at Mitsubishi over there. That whole stressed out Japanese business model. Those cats are having heart attacks at 32 over there. You know, they're kicking some serious, or had been kicking some very serious rear end in the international marketplace. I mean, putting us to shame. But the payoff was these guys are dropping over with a freaking thrombosis at 21. So they needed some place to chill, and they come up with this idea, this karaoke idea. And, then they're doing things like that. In fact, I'm lying. This isn't Craig Taylor at all. This is a Japanese businessman last night at the Dimples, and here he is. Sara Aoki with Welcome to the Jungle. But anyway, that was the development, that was the genesis of karaoke. And I find it interesting the way these things... Nobody can predict the future, man. Nobody knows how culture's going to go. In the Philippines, people have video karaoke laserdisc machines before they buy cars, according to Craig. Is that right? So that's where you got turned onto this.
The money, honey.
You got turned onto it in the Philippines? Laserdisc karaoke machines? You know, my wife, I think, went out and bought one or rented one or something. We had one. We had a karaoke. Oh, I know. Somebody showed up at the house with one. They had the video. They had the TV set. Oh, I know. No, now I know where it was. It was at my father and mother-in-law's down at the ocean there, wherever they were living that year. And they had gone out and rented a karaoke machine. You got one, Craig, or you want one? You want one so you can go...
Welcome to the jungle!
After you get home from work? And so you stand there like a jackass. The green, green grass of home. I don't know, whatever song. What do you guys want to sing? Oh, here's a good one. And they go off into Venus by the Shocking Blue. All right, Craig, very, very good, man. Last night there at the karaoke at Dimples.
Welcome to the jungle!
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Hi, everybody. Phil Hendry here, and it's time to inaugurate a new portion of our program. I'm really excited about this. It's called Phil on Food. You know, not only do I like movies, I like food, and today we're going to talk about burgers. Good hamburgers and a good place to get a hamburger. I come from California. I lived in Florida for a while. There's a lot of great burger stands. But out in California, we got a burger stand called In-N-Out Burger, and it is by far and away the very best burger. Wouldn't you agree, Mike, the fresh ingredients that they have? It's probably the best burger establishment that you'll ever find. And you say so, bud, because I know I've seen you eat there.
No, I don't agree.
What?
I don't agree.
You don't think In-N-Out Burger is the best?
No, not even close.
Well, I got to hear this. Which better?
Well, I mean, everybody know the best of Big Mac.
No, everybody doesn't know that Big Mac is the best. I'm talking about In-N-Out Burger.
No,
hold on for just a second, okay? Just back it off. In-N-Out Burger is what I'm talking about here, okay?
I know. I know about the place.
All right, you know that In-N-Out Burger, fresh ingredients, slices of big ass slices of onion.
Yeah, I've been there, but I not a good.
What do you mean it's not good? You got to at least say it's good.
No, it tastes like butt.
Hey, you know what I think? I think that motorcycle accident you had when you went through the tree. This is my segment. Just shut up, okay? In-N-Out Burger is the finest burger you can get in California. And the really interesting thing is...
Tastes like butt.
The really interesting thing... Okay, if you're not going to shut up, then you're going to go out of here.
Well, I mean, you want me on a show that I have an opinion. This music, by the way, is stupid.
This is my fill-on-food music. Be quiet. They have fresh ingredients. They have slices of tomato. What do you mean the Big Mac is better? I'm not saying McDonald's is bad, okay?
Big Mac is better.
You've been to In-N-Out, and you're going to tell me that the Big Mac is the best.
They make it your way. They make a secret sauce that has strips of lettuce. Burgers are frozen, a seal in a favor.
What? What did you say?
I said burgers are frozen and a seal in a flavor.
Frozen burgers suck, dude. When they bring the fresh patty out, man, that's what you want.
All right. So sit around a fly lamb out and take a poo in it? No. Frozen burger at a McDonald's.
You don't know what you're talking about, man. You gotta have fresh meat. You gotta have,
I got your fresh meat swinging.
Shut up and grow up. You gotta have fresh meat, dude, that ain't frozen. Everybody knows it. You don't have a clue. Anybody in California knows it. When I was out in Florida, they had a place called Checkers that was almost as good.
I never heard. It must be your butt place.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a place nobody ever heard. What Checker?
Checkers. It's a burger stand.
What about a double bubble taste?
What do you mean the double bubble taste?
Like doo-doo.
That's funny. Every time I do. What?
Why don't you let him have the opinion?
I'm letting him have his opinion, okay?
Then why do you butt in? You know that this is a give and take. He's your sidekick.
I don't know how any reasonable human being can say that the In-N-Out Burger tastes like butt, which is what he's saying.
That's his opinion.
And then go on to say that the Big Mac is better.
Big Mac, have a secret sauce and make it your way.
Whatever, man. They make it your way, okay? What does that mean?
That means you go in, they'll say, I don't want no secret sauce, and I don't want to have an onion. They won't make it that way.
And they do the same thing at In-N-Out, okay?
Well, were you arguing with him?
Well, am I not allowed to have an opinion?
No, just let him say what he wants to say.
Go ahead, bud. So the Big Mac is better, huh?
Absolutely, and... Another thing is In-N-Out Burgers, you know, first off, it's too clean in there. I like to go to a burger stand where there's food laying on the floor and it's laying on the seats.
Why?
What?
Why?
Because you can see what people ate and what they left behind.
You're an idiot, you know that?
Another thing about In-N-Out, the shakes are too thick.
And you're an idiot, do you know that?
And the fries are too salty.
And you're an idiot.
He called me an idiot, but I'm only an idiot now. In-N-Out will be butt burger forever. Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion on a sesame seed bun. McDonald's. Everybody know it.
You know, I feel sorry for you, man.
Why?
Because you don't know what a good freaking hamburger is. McDonald's Big Mac ain't bad. I'm talking about the best burger going, which is an In-N-Out burger. And you not only say that you don't like In-N-Out, you say it tastes like butt. You have got to have taste in your butt to come up with a concept like that.
And Ronald McDonald have a Ronald McDonald. In-N-Out don't have no clown man.
Who needs a freaking clown man? They got good burgers.
No, because when you take a kid a burger place, they have a clown man.
My kids go to In-N-Out, they dig it, man. They don't need no clown, okay?
Well, then it's you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. Hi, I got you on this one. I'm not lying. My kids like In-N-Out. Okay, they like the 4x4, all that crap you can get. The double-double monster, it's great.
You make them go.
No, I don't make them go.
Your kid don't like McDonald's.
Yeah, they love it.
You make them go in and out?
Huh?
You make them go in and out?
What?
Do you make them go in and out?
No, I don't make them go to In-N-Out. They want to go to In-N-Out.
When I go to McDonald's, I sit next to clown statue so I not eat alone.
Oh, that's great, bud. Okay. Well, I'm glad you got a friend, man.
No, but do they have a clown statue to eat at In-N-Out?
They don't need a clown statue at In-N-Out. I don't get lonely when I go to In-N-Out, okay? I bring people with me, bud. I have family. I have friends, unlike you, okay? Where you have to sit next to the clown statue so you don't feel alone.
McDonald have a kiddie play area and not be at an In-N-Out.
Hey, bud, you're 19 years old. Do you go to McDonald's, man, and play on the slide?
Well,
yeah, do you go to McDonald's and play on the slide, yes or no?
Then none of your business.
No, but you're the guy that's sitting here telling me that you sit next to Ronald McDonald's statue so you don't eat alone. This is called fill on food, not butt on food.
I play ball pin.
What's ball pin? See that? That's my music.
All right, Chatsworth, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Phil, great show as always, but I got to agree with Bud. In-N-Out, when they put that sauce on, it tastes like spoo.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
What does?
In-N-Out, when they put the In-N-Out sauce on, it's like spoodelia.
Yeah, in someone's butt area.
Yeah, but...
You guys are both high. You understand what I mean by that? High, as in chemically altered? That's the best burger. I could open the phones up right now to anybody ever been to an In-N-Out burger stand, and I guarantee you one thing.
No, wait a minute, Phil.
No, I'm going to finish this thought.
Look, Phil, you don't understand.
No, I'm finishing. I guarantee if I open the phone lines, you turn the music off. This whole thing's shot to hell now anyway.
What are you supposed to have? It's happy music.
I don't want to have it.
You're supposed to have...
Pull it out of there. I don't want it.
Yeah, you got it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All right, I'll keep it on, but I'm going to let you know this right now. I could open the phone lines up. I could ask people, do you like In-N-Out Burger? And they may say no.
See, they would not like it.
But not one of them's going to say they taste like someone's butt. Not one.
But Phil, In-N-Out ain't got no hot apple pie. What kind of a crap burger joint got none of the hot apple pie or the turnover?
No, now I have a burger turnover.
I don't know, man. They don't do that kind of crap at In-N-Out. They don't load their menu up with a bunch of crap.
Jack in the Box really good. I'll have a cheeseburger better.
Now I know you're stoned, okay? You come to work stoned.
I'm not stoned. I have opinion. How dare you, Mr. Hall?
Yeah, bud, right here.
He said I'm stoned.
What are you doing? Now you want to get sued for slander? Is that it?
How can this guy say that the ultimate cheeseburger from Jack in the Box beats In-N-Out? He's got to be smoking something, man. He's got to be spraying a sherm with something. Formaldehyde. I don't know what he's dipping it in. You can't say that.
I think it's pretty rude to say the tard stoned.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
I'm not stoned. It's my opinion on a Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box. That's not a place, man. Jack in the Box is like a guy's last name.
You know, you didn't pronounce it right.
Well, there's no way Ultimate Cheeseburger, there's no way anything a Jack in the Box even compares with In-N-Out Burger, bud. I'm going to chalk this one up to the fact that you don't get around much. You don't know what a good burger is. What's the matter now?
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Is he crying?
What, bud?
You made him cry! You're mean!
Mr. Bacon Cheeseburger from Junior Carl better because they have a barbecue sauce.
Tell him the Western Bacon Cheeseburger's better.
Hey, bud.
What?
The Western Bacon Cheeseburger at Carl's Jr. is better.
And In-N-Out tastes like butt.
Say it.
And In-N-Out tastes like butt.
And Big Mac is the best that it has ever been.
Go ahead.
Big Mac is the best there's ever been.
Close it.
This has been food on film, food on...
What a retard! Film on food!
That's what it is. We'll be right back.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Look, I don't care. Honest to God, I don't care. I swear. But it's now glaringly obvious that Phil Hendry has never been on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. Glaringly obvious only to me, but it's still glaringly obvious. And it's only glaringly obvious to me because I see all the other radio people that are on that show. And I'm just going to come out and say it. Maybe I shouldn't. Look, when you know your strengths, you know your strengths. Some of the people that they've had on that show couldn't carry my jock, if it was cleaning day. If it was laundry day. It was cleaning the laundry day. Well, you know what I mean. He's had all kinds of radio people on that show. And so I said to Mike, how come I have never been contacted by anybody from Politically Incorrect? Look, the New York Times did an article about me. Stinkin' NPR had me on. I mean, at least, not that I've been invited to be on like the Tonight Show or anything, but you figure that Politically Incorrect, they make my way on that show. The lightweights that that guy has had on that show, the radio people that he's had on that show, I'm thinking, how come Henry has not been called? And then Schaefer turned the light on. He said, he don't call anybody. They call him. All those cats that are on his show, those radio people, they call him. Their publicists, their agents call up Bill Maher's booking people and ask, can Eddie be on the show? Can Larry be on the show? Can Comb Over Boy be on the show? Can Joe and Jeff, John and Ken, Jimmy and Johnny? How about Janet Parshall? Or she's on everything. Janet Parshall is all over CNN, which is great. So now I understand, okay. And I'm not going to do that. Why am I not going to do that? Because they might say yes, and I'll get on a show, and I might not. Skippy and Frank are going to be on that show, I understand. Skippy or Frank or both. Probably they're going to cancel out Skippy since he put the shotgun in his mouth as that big Johnny Knoxville stunt. By the way, that guys, you know, standing and getting themselves gored by a bull, that beats Johnny Knoxville, don't you think? I mean, in other words, standing there and allowing a bull to gore you, that's got Tom Green, all those cats. Those guys are left in the dust now by some of the stuff that's going on. All right, all I wanted to say was that. So what were we going to do, Mike? What were we going to do here? Oh, yeah, anyway, I wanted to mention In-N-Out Burger and the very special relationship that I have with this place. And not just me, but a lot of people. There's a certain code. You may know it. I don't know. Should I give the codes for the various things? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. When you go to In-N-Out and you ask for it animal style, they'll give you, like, extra fried onions and like, cook the mustard right into the meat, right? This is not on the menu. When you go to In-N-Out and you look at the menu, they just have, like, burger, cheeseburger, double-double, and fries and shakes. And all of the stuff they do is really awesome. But they don't have on the menu animal style, and they don't have on there the 4x4. The 4x4 is four meat patties and four slices of cheese. But you got to know. You got to know to ask for it, which means people have been eating it In-N-Out for a long, long time like I have. We know all the code phrases. So the kids the other day, not the other day, it was about a year ago when I first took them to In-N-Out. Animal style, by the way, is mustard into burger, pickles, grilled onions, awesomeness, says Mike. Thank you, Mike. Mike on food. Awesomeness. So animal style is when you have the, as I just mentioned, you grill it into the onions, you do the thing. What happened to the Craig CD? Why does stuff get taken out of here? Give it back. I told the kids, let's go down, let's go get ourselves a 4x4 at In-N-Out Burger. And they go, is it on the menu? I go, no, it's a special code you got to know. You got to know the code. And then you tell the guy, give me a 4x4. Really? Yeah. So I go, yeah, we'll take 3 4x4s. And the kid's eyes are bugging out of their head. Wow! You can order something that's not on the menu. And you got to know to order it. Otherwise, nobody knows what you want. All right. So that's what we did. And it's kind of cool. And, of course, it's a very, very responsible thing for a man to do. Take in a couple of kids and himself, all three of whom, myself and the two kids, all of us battling weight problems, and order 4x4s. Four slices of meat, four slices of cheese. Thing stands about 6 feet high. They got to bring it out on a freaking forklift. The kids look at it and go, that. It was a moment to remember, and it's the craps all over your face. Nothing like it. It's a hell of a burger. And you walk out of there, you're tossing your refuse into the waste paper basket, you're waddling out with your guts hanging out, and you know the T-shirt isn't covering all of your belly, and you're saying,
you got the money, honey.
Stuff like that. All right, anyway, quit screwing around, Henry. Earn your freaking money, will you? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I saw Bill Maher at a party about, last year, over a year ago. My wife says to me,
oh, let's go to this party. We got tickets. We got an invite or some bullcrap.
I said, what do you mean we got an invite?
It's Clive Davis's 25th anniversary party from the founding of Arista Records, and it's in Beverly Hills, and some friend of ours got an invitation, and we can be their guests.
And the extra added bonus was this party was going to be on a work night. So in other words, the next day I got to get up and go to work. Everything wrong about this right off the bat. Nothing. His name is Clive Davis. What did I say, Clive Thomas? Oh, Clive Thomas, the guy I used to work with on the radio in Florida. And he's now Clive Davis, and he owns a record company. So it's the same guy. Everything wrong about what she says to me. Clive Davis's 25th anniversary of Arista Records. I was a disc jockey for about 18 years, and I couldn't stand it any longer. I couldn't stomach record parties. I couldn't stomach listening parties. I couldn't stomach going to see some new band. I just couldn't stand it any longer, okay? I'd been around enough musicians. I'd been around the record business long enough. I just didn't want to be around it anymore. Been around all the self-righteous, sanctimonious jackballs that work in that business. I mean, there's enough of them in radio. Okay, that was number one. Am I being too negative here? I just want to tell you how I feel about this, okay? Craig says, go, Phil, go. Number two, it was at a mansion in Beverly Hills. And number three, we're going to take a limo. And number four, and it starts at 10 and it goes to like 3 or some crap overnight. So I said, baby, I, when your wife looks at you and you know that look, that it's really important to me that we do this as opposed to, well, you do what you want to do. She gave me one of those, it's really important, I really, really want to go to it. So I got into my suit, and we got into the limo, and we went with the people, two of whom are very dear friends, and I really like them, two others of whom were talking way too much for my taste, because I spend my day talking. And when I get off the air and I go home, I don't want to talk. I don't want to have to talk. And the last thing I want to do is talk about the business I'm in. It's just specific things that I want. I'm sure you people are the same. You come home from work. It's a certain thing that you need. You need to come home, maybe have your dinner ready. Maybe you need to come home and make your dinner. Maybe it's therapeutic. I don't know. For me, I just don't want to talk. So anyway, get in the thing. We go to this mansion, Beverly Hills. And it's people wandering the grounds of this enormous mansion, this enormous 17,000-square-foot home. And they're wandering the grounds. And everybody there is, of course, there to see Carlos Santana, Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, all of these people that we were told would be there so that you could go people watch. Well, they ain't there. And they're not going to be there for hours because why? They're down at the Staples Center at the Grammys, I guess. So we're all standing around like dumbbells, eating the finger food, staring at the pool, staring at each other. A couple of people cracked out a few joints. Nobody in my party. I could smell it, you know, not that I partook. I just recognize the smell from police training videos that I've seen. Anyway, I'm watching all of this. I'm watching all this. Then suddenly I see coming through the door is this very, very tall, beautiful black woman, about 6'1", gorgeous, beautiful, long, black, gorgeous hair, beautiful figure, and shuffling along beside her at about 4'11". With teased red hair is Bill Maher. I mean, I swear to God, I've seen some short... I've seen some short guys in my life. You've never seen a guy shorter than this. He's almost technically a midget. It's God is my witness. I'm not kidding you. I said, look at the guy. And he was walking along. He was taking four steps for every two of hers, you know? And she's walking. Very beautiful woman. Must have been a model. And there's Bill just like the rabbit going down the hole in Alice in Wonderland. And he's trying to look like he's strolling, but he's not doing a very good job of it because he's, you know, taking the four steps for every two of hers. And I said, Jesus, that's somebody's kid. No, it's Bill Maher. I asked him, I said, what is she doing with Danny Bonaducci? No, wait a minute, he's 40 now. He's not 14. Wait, it's Bill Maher. Is she the nanny and this is someone's kid that she brought to the... No, excuse me, it's Bill Maher. The red hair, the kind of that pompadour he wears and that kisser that's memorable. And there's nothing wrong with a man being ugly. I mean, he has every right in the world. He's a very talented man. But there he was. And who else? That was it. And then we had to wait around with our thumbs jammed up our rear ends while my wife is... Oh, but Santana's going to be here soon. And so-and-so's going to be here soon. And we went on. I said, I can't stand this any longer. I got to get out of here. I don't care, honey, if I see Santana. I saw him at the Hollywood Bowl in 1969. That's all I needed. I don't need to go back and see it again. But what about Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston? Whitney Houston? I said, isn't she in jail in Hawaii? They had her locked up for good. I'm leaving. And that's the kind of party pooper of a guy that I am, you know? I can hang out with friends. I like to go to dinner. I love to go to parties. But, and maybe it's because I got an ego. You know, I'm in the entertainment business, and I don't want to stand around waiting for somebody else's ego to show up. I mean, I'm being very honest. Maybe that's it. I mean, all of those things are possible, but I couldn't stand it. I felt horrible. And thank God Bill Maher showed up because seeing him made me feel better. If for no other reason than I was taller than him. Anyway, this is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
Mr. Hall.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your position?
I'm the vice president of the syndication for the Phil Henry Show.
How the hell did you ever get there with the attitude
of
the...
Come on. You're not going to get anywhere insulting me, lady. Look.
No. I am going to insult you. Just came on public radio everybody listens to you and sat there called a missing woman abroad. You sat there talked about she'll never be found because if she is, all they'll find is the gym shoe or whatever else you said.
I said...
Don't sit there and...
Look, tell me what you said. We all got to swim in the same water here. Look, don't get tough with me. I'm just saying the chances they'll find her alive are probably pretty slim. And,
well, that's not what you said. You keep that mess to yourself. You keep that mess to yourself because my family happens to be listening to this. You just cooked your little goose.
Hey, wait a minute.
That makes no sense.
No, don't get tough. Look, this girl, Jay Levy.
Chandra Levy.
That's pathetic, too. Oh. Write it down. Then you can read it.
How do you spell it?
Can you read?
C-H-A-N-D-R-A. C-H what, ma'am?
A-N-D-R-A. Chandra Levy. It's pathetic. You
all
sit
right
there and come up and you make announcements that you are donating $105,000.
Well, whoever she is.
You don't even have the slightest idea who you donate the money to.
All right. Okay, Patty, hang on for just one more second and take a quick break, but I want to get back to your call, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Patty, hold on. Hold on, David. We got to take another quick break here. 1-800-449-8686. We're gonna be coming back in just a second here. Okay, are we clear? Are we off the air, David?
Phil, I'm gonna tell you something. You better pray to God they don't find this bridge because you're working for minimum wage for a year.
We can't go on the air and say we're doing something that we're not gonna do.
Who's gonna know? We say we give $105,000. They don't find her. Bingo, you look like a hero, and everybody's, oh, well, you know, you did your best, Phil, 105, geez, what a great guy. Meanwhile, they're still looking for her. They're going to find, like, a hair. Come on, think of it, will you? Quit being such a bleeding heart.
I am trying to maintain some shred of integrity here on a radio show that has had a credibility problem, okay?
You know something? You know what you need to do? You may need a vacation or something, because you're getting a little soft.
Oh, I'm getting soft, huh?
You're getting soft. You're letting all these broads that are calling in get to you. You're letting all these people calling in. This bitch that we're talking to right now in Atlanta, okay, screaming at me, she doesn't know about the pressures that I got.
Look, would you do me a favor?
What?
We're coming back in 10 seconds. Hold on.
Closest thing they'll find to her is a finger in somebody's soup.
Oh, God, don't say it on the air. We're back, 1-800-449-8686.
So we're giving $105,000 to the Chandra Levy Fund. Phil?
1-800-449-8686. All right, Patty was hanging on. We got a few more minutes. Go ahead, Patty.
First of all, Mr. David G. Hall, and I use the term loosely, I'm not a bitch.
I never called you one.
Yes, you did. And you were on the air during that whole conversation.
God damn it.
Craig, were we on the air again? All right, we got a problem with our feet on the satellite.
I didn't call you a bitch. I called
you
a witch.
This bitch that we're talking to from
Taylor, do you know how to take the pot down on a satellite?
Don't yell at Craig now because we got a caller on the line, okay?
Mr. Hall, as a vice president,
you
can call me whatever the hell you want to call me, but I know as a business, what you are supposed to be doing is trying to make money. You won't make money if you don't have listeners. And the attitude and the perception that you are showing right now.
We're giving $105,000.
Okay, the $105,000 is good if you would take all this other mess out of it.
What other mess?
David, you just told me we're not giving $105,000. You also said they'd only find her finger in somebody's soup.
How dare you?
Yeah, I heard that too.
How dare you lie?
A lie?
That was on the radio. It was on the radio.
Is she telling me that was out on the air again?
Yeah.
Craig, how is this stuff getting out on the air?
Taylor, you're fired. Wherever you are, you're fired. Is
well,
he even in the room?
Your boss is,
or is he
David,
a dump?
He's the one that, your boss is the one that needs to be firing you, because if this is how you run a business, your ass is just
Ma'am,
pathetic.
I want to tell you something. The Chappie Levy Fund has raised
Chappie?
Chandra.
Not Choda, not Jay, not Chappie. Chandra.
I got
See,
it right.
What, you are minimizing the whole
I
fact
wrote
that,
it down wrong.
Well, that's probably because you can't write. But
all right, 1-800. Okay, look, I got to take a break here and.
And make sure we're off the air.
You better get some other.
No, you better get some other engineer because as of 4:40 on July 26th, Craig Taylor is fired. And remember, $105,000 goes to the Joe Levy.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Hendricks. Flashback.
I'll tell you one thing we did do. We gave $150,000, and it's still counting, to my friend's place. That's one thing we are doing. Thanks to your generosity, you can get the number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD or picture disc vinyl by ordering 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. They'll take Visa. They'll take MasterCard. They'll take a check. This is Santana. And I don't have to stand around any party waiting for them. $150,000, and we've raised over $500,000 for the people at my friend's place. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.